chat.
Okay.
We are here with one and only Anna Dixon talking about
webinars.
Webinar.
Do we need to cut this?
No. This is live. We're going. We're
all right,
rolling.
Awesome.
We're not talking about now. Hannah is a legend. She runs an academy called the VA Academy, where she teaches people how they can become location independent. How many students? 40,000?
45,000.
45,000, yep. And counting.
Yep.
And counting. That's insane. So we started working on webinar projects together, and that's what we are talking about. A bit of her journey on webinars, right? So let's start with some of the results actually that we got together.
So as you know, I've been training people for a long time, so I'm no stranger to webinars. However, I had found that I just wasn't converting with webinars alone. I'd been using a challenge model, a 5-day challenge, and I was making good money with it, but it was so laborsome, like so much time and effort and money went into running these challenges. And so I was wondering if I could just do a webinar and get the same kind of results. Skip forward, yes, I was, with your help. And so I think for me, the biggest issue was selling on the webinars. I'm really good at like teaching and doing what I do, but I'm not a sales professional. So with your support, weaving in your sales knowledge into the webinar format was a game changer. I was able to make the same money that I would make in a challenge from just doing a single webinar. So my workload was like 90% less. That for me was like game changing. Now I only run webinars.
Well, I remember that. That was actually my journey into webinars, because I started selling with 5-day challenges.
Right.
And when you do a 5-day challenge, it's never 5 days.
No.
It's a month, 2 months of work, really, because you have the pre-challenge, the post-challenge, the during challenge. Mm-hmm. And it's great for community building, because I don't think webinar replace
the
community that you build with a challenge. But it takes a toll, particularly if it becomes the only way of running the business model. And that's what I remember I found it for myself. What was the, when you started doing webinars, what was the biggest shift actually that I'm curious that you found from going to challenges to webinars? Like in the way they were different?
I think it was that community piece, but I think talking with you, you helped me throw in a few things that made people feel more connected to me throughout the webinar. So that wasn't necessarily completely gone. It was different, but you gave me strategies to make it feel similar and to feel so connected to me that by the end, they still wanted to buy from me and be in my world. So I think that was one of the big things. And then also, I mean, this isn't a bad thing. This is a great thing. Just, I couldn't believe how much easier it was to just run a webinar. Like I have my signature talk, so it was just my signature talk with your sales strategy and then helping me put, for example, objections that people might have into the actual content itself, like case studies and things like that, just made the pitch so much easier that it didn't feel like I was selling. It just felt like I was like, here's my thing. And then people were buying.
You know, there is the assumption sometimes that in order to do a webinar, you need to do the hard sell. And you need to sell in a style that is not yours. So it's like, buy this right now.
Yeah.
Because if you don't buy, your house is going to burn and your family is going to leave you. It's like, oh.
You'll be a loser for the rest of your life.
You'll be a loser for... And I've always hated that.
Yeah, me too.
I always hated that because it's never been me. Mm-hmm. And I believe that everyone has a natural selling style because we all communicate. We all have different values. So when we sell aligned to our values and who we are, then that's where actually people can see us in the pitch. So I'm curious for you, what were some of the elements that you put about yourself in the pitch? Because that was the part that was stressing you out the most, if I remember
well. Yes. Well, first of all, I just want to commend you because I had spoken to other people about doing this kind of work, getting help with the webinar. You were the only person that I was like, yes, he gets me, because you didn't want to take me out of the equation. You weren't trying to make me into one of those salespeople. You weren't trying to make me put some scarcity in that didn't exist or anything. Like you very much were like, let's use your values. Let's use you and put it into it, which made it better because that's why people buy from me. Yeah. So that was really helpful to just hear the permission that I could just be more me in order to sell. So it's like actual tangible things that I did, that you supported me in doing and told me to do essentially, were I do quite long webinars for like 2.5 hours sometimes, maybe even more. And so I lose steam. And if I'm not talking about something that interests me, it's really hard for me to like get through that pitch and be excited still. So one tip that you gave me, which was it's small, but it's like huge in terms of impact, was to put kind of imagery that got me excited again. So a picture of my dogs or my partner or things like that integrated towards the parts where I knew I would be starting to lose steam or I was getting anxious because I'm about to do the pitch. And that just like lifted my spirits again. So that was one really tangible thing. And I think, again, just those case studies throughout gave me the confidence to be like, look at all these tests. Like for me, not just for them, not just for the people watching to get trust from me, but for me to be like, hell yeah, I've changed people's lives. Of course people are going to want to buy this. So I went in with a different kind of confidence.
And when you have that, it is a completely different game because you are confident.
Exactly.
And that's what people buy. People buy the energy that you emanate. And so if you're feeling self-doubt when you're pitching, people are feeling that self-doubt. If you're feeling that, oh, I don't want to be here right now or I'm done when I'm pitching, then this is the energy that you're putting out.
Exactly.
And that affects, maybe someone cannot pinpoint it, but they will feel it in the audience. Even if we have the screen, even if at the end of the day, it's energy.
Absolutely.
Right? And adding those extra elements to say, okay, what is something that makes you excited. Mm-hmm. So naturally you change your dynamic.
Also, just to add to that really quickly, another thing I noticed was that people stayed on till the end, like so much more. I would see so many people drop in the past and people were staying right till the end because they want to spend that time with me because they're like actively in my energy and they'd be like having fun with me because I'm feeling compelled to tell more interesting stories or like I'm getting excited, so they're getting excited. So people just stayed on so much longer, which means so much more people see that pitch.
Because your webinar is not that short, right?
It's 2.5 hours, sometimes 3 hours.
Okay, so let's talk about that. Some people, they might find it, some people cannot even think how they can spend 60 minutes in front of a camera, sometimes even 30 minutes. 2.5 hours, what makes you go for 2.5 hours?
I think, one, I really want my audience to get a lot of value out of these sessions. I want them to feel like at the end, they have something they can take away and do something with it immediately that's actually going to transform their business or their life in some way. And so it's really important for me that they have that transformation. I'm really grateful that people are spending that time with me. So I want to give them that. And I always tell people how long it's going to be. And here's what you're going to get if you stay. So for me, it's really about them getting a really good transformation. And that takes time. You can't do that really quickly. Like I genuinely want them to get value out of it. And I kind of wanted to emulate what I did in the challenge in the webinar. So it was important for me to have those same elements because that was a proven system that now I have in a webinar format. So there's that. And then I think also there is a level for me of when it comes to the people that I want to actually have in my world and to invest in my program, I want them to be invested. I want them to be committed to themselves. So if they're sticking around to the end and they're engaging, and they're doing the things that I'm telling them they should go out there and do to change their business and their life, then they're probably the kind of people I want in my world.
It is. And there are layers to this game. Like sometimes some people, when they start, it's like, okay, start with 30 minutes, 60 minutes. Because for someone, if the idea of spending 2.5 hours on a webinar, on a presentation, is like, I don't even know how I can do it. Like, I remember at the beginning, I was like, what? Like a presentation of an hour? Then I end up running like week-long seminars with being and speaking for 6-7 hours a day. Just the content builds with you, comes with you every time you deliver a presentation. So don't feel that you need to run a webinar for 2.5 hours, that you get to that point. But then you arrive to a point where you're like, the more time people spend with you, the more likely they are to buy.
They trust you,
And one of the principles is actually giving them space to buy, giving them time to buy. How long do you roughly spend now on the call to action? From the moment, let's say, you start the call to action to the moment actually you say, okay, end of the webinar?
Yeah, it depends. I think it depends. Obviously, I stay as long as there are questions. That's something you told me to do as well. I used to feel like, oh, I've done the pitch. I need to get off now, you know?
Yeah.
But you're like, if people are asking you questions, why would you not answer them? So now I stay as long as people are still asking and I give them space. I'm like, I'm happy with silence. Like, I'm happy to keep the questions coming. So as long as it takes, typically the pitch is now taking me about 35 minutes. I had spoken to a sales coach years ago who told me 8 minutes and be done. And I think you called it out. You were like, BS.
I had a mini heart attack in that moment. I'm like, you're asking someone to make a buying decision for $1,500.
Almost $2,000 for the top tier product.
Right, almost $1,000 in 8 minutes. Really?
Really? So I used to feel rushed.
Yeah.
I will say as well that the pitch, that's another thing that you gave me, was that I was able to talk about the product at the beginning of the webinar. I used to feel like I had to hide it and be like, oh, by the way, I have this thing.
Surprise!
But I think, yeah, one of the things that I had said to you is that transparency is really important for me, that I have an audience that really values transparency and also asking consent. So at the very beginning, you had told me like to let them know, I will be talking about my program later. You don't have to invest in it, but if you want to continue and you want to put this stuff into action with support, there will be an option for you to do that at the end and we could talk about it. So then people already know and then they're more inclined to listen because I gave them the option. And so being able to talk about it early on totally like relieved my nerves because they already know and they're choosing to be here still.
And you know that everyone that stays there, once you give them the permission to leave,
yes,
it's okay. Right now the content is done.
Yeah.
Right. From now on, we're talking about the program.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to even hear about the program.
That line was a game changer.
Right. Tell me more.
It just, for me, like personally, just to feel like I've told them that no one's going to feel like I blindsided them. They can leave. They got their value. And if they're here, I know they're interested. And I also know they're warm leads now. If they don't buy now, I'm going to follow up with them.
Yeah. And for everyone that feels a certain way, like selling, you know that when you give someone permission to leave, first of all, you know that the people that are there, they're actually the people that want to listen, that they want to buy, they want to engage. And then the entire dynamic changes because now you're doing something together. It's not me forcing this product on you or this service on you. It's let's see if that works for you.
Yeah.
Let me show you what I have. Let's talk about a bit more. You mentioned about the case studies and the testimonials throughout. I know I remember that when we did the first round of presentations, like we need to put more social proof because damn, like you got more than like now 45,000 students. Yeah. How many stories we can tell? And you are someone that you really love and care about your clients. You really love and care about your members. Even right now we are in Madeira speaking at an event called Nomad Island Fest. Incredible event. Check it out. We'll put the link somewhere. It's an incredible event. That's how we met for the first time actually last year. And even like you bring in your community here, bringing your clients here, spending time with them, traveling to places all over the world where you know your clients are so that you can meet them in person. It's something that is crucial for you. So what was the impact that testimonials had and how also did we pick those testimonials as well?
So you helped me kind of realize that the content itself, while it was good, it needed that proof to show that what I'm saying actually works. So when we were talking about, for example, how to make money as a freelancer, immediately after talking about the money and how much you can earn and the different pricing models, we had a testimonial from someone who's making $100 an hour, and they're like a real person who's actually usually in the chat because people were excited to be in the chat too. So both of those things together were really great. And then talking about, for example, we had a moment where I'm talking about why it's important to have community. And then I immediately have a case study about a guy who was having an issue with a client and how the power of the community and how we all brainstormed with him allowed him to not only solve that issue, but to retain that client as well. So by the end of the webinar, what it gave me was very little objections. People were like, she already answered that. I don't have a question about how much money I can earn. I don't have a question about how much support I'm going to get. I don't have a question about whether I can do this or not. I don't have a question about what kind of skills I need to have. So I didn't find myself answering a lot of the really common questions that sometimes would kind of like throw me a bit, or, you know, even things like people would often ask for scholarships. We do have a scholarship, but I don't want to be talking about that while I'm on my webinar. We have a different process for that. So I also address that in the webinar now. I'm like, you know, I talk about it briefly. So people aren't asking those questions that throw me when I'm in the pitch. So it just feels very smooth. I know what I'm talking about now. I know that people are either convinced or not at this point. And if they just need a bit more guidance, they can talk to me after.
Yeah. And when you think about, as Anna mentioned, when you think about creating your testimonial case studies, they are there to handle objections. Like the best testimonial is testimonial of someone that had some concerns about joining, had some concerns about doing that thing that you're offering. And then now they are on the other side.
Yeah.
And these are the best because they position you, is social proof, is objection handling. They hit multiple things at the same time. It's storytelling. Mm-hmm. It breaks the flow of the teaching as well. That can become a bit brainy after you share models and structures and strategies.
to add to that, okay. I've also had some of our case studies have been reached out to and have got clients from my webinar.
Damn.
So I'm like, it's like got this ripple effect. Yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Now, was that, I don't know if you covered already, was that any concern that you had before going in, like going into webinars, or something that you were either worried about or not sure about?
I think it was just whether or not that I could replicate the kind of success I was having with the challenge in a webinar format. And I was, so I'm really grateful to that. I think the other thing was pitch, yeah. So another thing that I was really concerned about was the actual pitch itself. Because as I mentioned earlier, I'm good at talking about, I'm good at teaching, I'm good at doing what I do best. I'm not a salesperson. And so actually talking about my product, I found really hard, maybe because I'm too close to it. So I think this was something we went over 3, 4, maybe 5 times.
We rehearsed the things.
So. I know. And I'm truly grateful to you, because I know that you threw in an extra session for us to talk about that, because I just couldn't find a way to talk about the product in a way that was concise but still gave people enough information. And so we broke down my entire program into, I think it was 4 quadrants, and you gave me a framework to kind of talk about that. That was incredibly helpful, because I now use that even outside of webinars. When people ask me, what's the content of your program? I would say, this module has this, and here's why it's helpful, and here's an example of what's in there. And then we kind of applied that. So I had this system to go through that immediately handled their objections, immediately showcased the best of what we have to offer, and it just made me feel so much more confident.
Yeah, it's a lot of the pitching for webinars is about finding your style and also practicing and rehearsing.
Yes.
Because what happens is that a lot of times you will practice your content. If you speak, if you teach, if you train, you'll practice your content every single time when you're recording online training, when you're delivering talks, other type of training webinars. But the call to action is the part that we practice the least.
Yeah.
And is the part that actually makes us money.
Yes.
And so even creating that space of let's go through it. Mm-hmm. Let's go through it. And let's find it in a way that now it clicks for you.
Yeah.
Because, and sometimes it takes a while.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it takes like 5, 6, 7 times, and you find like there is something off, and you do it again, there is something off. But when it clicks,
it stays.
And then it stays, and then you find your way, and then you can build on that.
Mm-hmm.
So for people that are interested in working with me and GTechs, from your experience, what can they expect by working with us? What based on your experience, what can the others can expect?
I think a very personalized experience, one that takes into account not just your business model and sales goals or anything like that, or webinar goals, like who you are as a person, who the people are that you serve, and how to serve them best. Again, just very personalized. I feel like working with you, Simona, you really went above and beyond in ways that I didn't expect. So I really appreciated that. Like I said, you know, we went over things maybe more than you might be used to with other clients. Maybe not. I don't know. I'm assuming. I'm like, I must be the terrible one.
No, you actually were good. Was it?
So I think just that attention to detail and attention to being really open to just going over it again and again until I felt comfortable. Like, you didn't leave any stone unturned, and you were very receptive to any questions I had. I think overall it was just very personalized. And I think that's what I appreciated most, because that's how I like to work with people too.
All right. Thank you. So anyone who's on the fence working with me or GTechs, what's your
plan? Just do it. I made so much more money, and I'm so much more confident in my business overall. And I'm serious. I was talking to you. We were having a drink by the beach the other day, and I said, I made a lot of investments this year, and you are by far the best investment I made.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Someone wants to reach out to you, know more about your fantastic and wonderful world and the things that you're doing with the VA Academy, what's the best way?
You can reach me at digitalnomadkit.com. That's KIT.com.
Digitalnomadkit.com. The links are going to be below. So cannot wait to work together. If you want to create a webinar that converts, that feels fully you, you know where to find me.
This guy.
Ciao.
Awesome.
Oh, this was brilliant.
It was.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm serious. I really, really, really appreciated your help this year.
Thank you for listening to Explode Your Expert Business Show. If you enjoyed the interview, please subscribe to the show and leave us a review. Every week we will select a winner from the reviews that we get. So it might be you. Make sure you give us a review. It means the world to us, and that's how you can help us grow the show. Also, remember to download the Expert Business Checklist to get the roadmap on how to become an authority in your field. The link is in the show notes, or you can visit gtex.events/expert-checklist. So it's gtex.events/expert-checklist. And as well, finally, if you want to receive daily support in your coaching and speaking business or explore how we can work together, join our private Facebook group, Explode Your Expert Biz. Again, you can find it on Facebook at Explode Your Expert Biz, or the link is in the show notes. Thank you very much for listening, and until next time, remember that together we grow exponentially.